Today on Seculo, breaking news, an imminent Iranian ballistic missile attack on Israel?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So Iran just can't help but getting in this game. So we've got, of course, the assassinations of key Hezbollah leadership. I mean, literally, that was posted by the IDF from the top down, from Nasrallah down, of all of the top leaders eliminated. That doesn't mean more won't pop up. That doesn't mean their entire military force, which hovers around 40 to 50,000 people, still can't cause serious trouble for the state of Israel, as Israel takes slower steps, special forces mostly, inside Lebanon. Most of the fighting has been occurring within those UN zones, where they've asked the UN peacekeepers to get out of the way so that they would remain safe. But on top of this, you have Iran. They are the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And these are all their proxies: Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthi rebels. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They've really expanded their reach outside of just the Shia world. And there is a new report from the United States warning Israel that Iran is preparing, and it could be imminent, to launch, especially since we're getting closer and closer to evening time when it turns dark in Israel, a ballistic missile at Israel. And now, again, are they bluffing? What kind of ballistic missile? But this is a country that has weapons we know that could be more effective, Will, than what we saw in the past when they tried to do a rocket brigade that all got shut down by the Iron Dome. The question is this a real ICBM coming after Israel, and what the ramifications could look like, even if they do shoot it down, to the world? If you get ICBMs fired at you, I think as a country in the world, you build a partnership quick, and you have to dismantle that regime.
That's right, Jordan. So the intel that was passed along to the Israelis this morning is that Iran is preparing to imminently launch a ballistic missile attack against Israel. The White House believes it's about to begin, and they are already warning from the White House severe consequences for Iran. Now, we're getting reports from Jeff Balaban, our director of ACLJ Jerusalem, that the embassy in Israel, the U.S. embassy, has issued a high alert level to its employees, instructing them to return home and prepare to enter bomb shelters. There are warnings of potential imminent ballistic missile attacks from Iran. A fellow senior Israeli official's confirmation that Israel received the warning earlier today, with estimates suggesting the attack could occur within the next few hours. And we've also seen that the Israelis have said they have not detected any projectiles at this moment, but that doesn't mean that it is not an imminent threat from Iran as retaliation against the litany of successful campaigns of Israel against terror leaders and Iranian proxies around the region.
Yeah, I mean, with these U.S. indications, what is the big picture? Iran wants to send a message of major retaliation. What they tried to do last time, it just did not work. It was not at the level that the Iron Dome was not capable of shooting down those rockets and those missiles. So the significance here, folks, I think we have to understand the significance here is that Israel is on the brink of yet another major conflict, and it could be a conflict that is much more serious even than what happened on October 7th. The brutality against civilians, I don't think, is in comparison at this point. But if a ballistic missile were able to hit a major population area like Jerusalem. I don't think they'd hit Jerusalem, too many holy sites there, but Tel Aviv or Haifa. I mean, Israel would have very serious decisions to make because the loss of life could be significant. We stand with Israel at the ACLJ. We're preparing to send a critical demand letter to the UN General Assembly to confront the biased attacks on Israel. We need your prayers as well. We are just launching now the excited to announce our all-new prayer guide that launches today, and I don't think the timing could be more appropriate. Go to aclj.org/pray, and if you can donate today to support our work, that's great.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. I want to get your thoughts on this. With Iran preparing and the U.S. intelligence, and I think you can read it two ways. One, I think if you're Israel, you have to take it seriously. But then two, Will, you also have to think, well, the rest of the world wants us to back off.
That's
so
right.
Show me the evidence. Show me where you're getting this intel if you're Israel, because we need to know that to protect our own people. And then that also, if they could receive that evidence, Will, would make sure that this was not some play to get the United States to put pressure on them to kind of pull back on what has been such a successful targeted military and special forces campaign to rid the world of Iran's most dangerous proxy, which is Hezbollah.
And I think the fact that the intel was coming from the United States does speak to the nature of it, at least at this point, because when you look at the way the Biden administration has been going about their relationship with Israel right now, everything they've talked about is de-escalation, de-escalation, de-escalation. And when you have the U.S. warning of a impending ballistic missile strike, I think that you have to take it seriously in the fact that the United States isn't going to just shuffle over intel or maybe try to shape the narrative in a way that could escalate it more like this potential imminent attack by ballistic missiles from Iran could. Now, we also know that the U.S. has sent three fighter jet squadrons to the Middle East, bolstering defense preparations. The IDF states that there's no missile launches from Iran that have been detected yet. But they're also saying that unlike that previous attack that Iran attempted against Israel, where fortunately it was not a successful attack, they were using drone warfare, some cruise missiles. They weren't using ballistic missiles in this sense. So this is a different style of attack. It's an escalation of warfare against the state of Israel. They're saying that it seems to be military sites that would be targeted by Iran, so not an indiscriminate missile attack like you would see from Hezbollah, but once again, you can't trust the Iranians to do the right thing ever.
You also have to trust that their missile systems work in a way that doesn't end up falling on a civilian neighborhood or town. But just because they want to hit military targets doesn't mean they are justified in doing so, because Israel is fighting their proxies. Now, Iran, again, has a very different calculus to make because of their population. We've seen that population take to the streets. And I want to remind all Iranians, I want to play this from Prime Minister Netanyahu as well. that this war, that these actions have are not anti the Iranian people, many who would rather be called the Persian people, especially here in the United States of America. These actions are aimed at the brutal regime that is oppressing you, your families, and your children, especially those who happen to be women or other religious minorities. And so this is not about going to war with the Iranian people. This is about ridding these religious dictators from Iran so that the people would again have the ability to create an Iran in their own image. But let me also star this. The U.S. loves a push towards democracy, Will, and the truth is we cannot do that. Now, I don't want to sound anti-American by saying that, but we've seen time and time again when our State Department says, you know what, we got rid of the bad guys, let's rush to have a vote. How about we don't do that? Because so far that hasn't turned out well. How about the United States pick someone, says this is who is in charge, he's got the charge of the military, let's get this very stable, let's put Iran, or if it's Lebanon, or whatever country we're talking about, on the right path with the correct kind of investments, because you could see how this could be so beneficial to the United States. And so this is what I think we really have to think about through, is that if you're going to go in there and topple some of these major leaders that could lead to widespread protests that could topple their entire governments, what do we do next? And I think what we have to promote next is not some rush to the voting booths. That is how we got Hamas in the Gaza Strip. It is how we got the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I mean, right. It's just give people time. Put in someone who is strong enough to get people through this very difficult time that they trust to clean up the military, to handle the former members of these terror groups and how that will work out, and make sure that to get those countries back to a peaceful, prosperous situation. And then somewhere down the road, you can host elections. But that does not have to be, like, part one doesn't have to be, we overthrow the bad guys. Part two, let's now try to run a nationwide election. It just doesn't work. Let's listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu, because he's making these points over and over again, though the world does not want to hear it.
I speak a lot about the leaders of Iran. Yet at this pivotal moment, I want to address you, the people of Iran. I want to do so directly, without filters, without middlemen. Every day, you see a regime that subjugates you make fiery speeches about defending Lebanon, defending Gaza. Yet every day, that regime plunges our region deeper into darkness and deeper into war. Every day, their puppets are eliminated. Ask Muhammad Deif. Ask Nasrallah. There is nowhere in the Middle East Israel cannot reach. There's nowhere we will not go to protect our people and protect our country.
And I mean, right there you go. It's clear from Prime Minister Netanyahu exactly what they are willing to do. So heed the warnings of the IDF. Heed the warnings of the Israeli military. They are saying, this is what we are planning to do. You are in harm's way if you are getting this message. Move. And we saw the Lebanese people move in mass, Will. The next question is, the next step is, okay, are we going to see real boots on the ground? And then you have to then play into what is going to go on with Iran. That is a big question mark right now. Now, Hezbollah claimed to fire a ballistic missile into Israel. It did not do much damage.
Right.
I don't think it hit anywhere of value. It was kind of in a field. But the Iranian, I think, ballistic missile system, could they utilize one like that and just be talking right now to make it sound scary? Sure. But we know they have the next level in military deliverables.
And we also don't know what stage their nuclear program is at. We know that they have been working on it. We know that they were given a lot of leeway. We know that the UN inspectors have not been able to get in, have not been able to utilize the correct surveillance footage and things of that nature. This could escalate in a way that erupts when you've got a land war in Europe with Russia and Ukraine. You've got now what could be an escalating three-front war for Israel with Hamas to the west, Hezbollah to the north, and to the east, Iran. It could get out of control very quickly on a world stage where you've got people clinging to one side and causing, in effect, the next World War III. But you also have to wonder what's going through the Ayatollah's head.
Yeah.
Because the untouchables of their terror brigades, whether it be a Nasrallah, who's been in power for 30 years, the leader of Hamas. Now we know that there's a second leader, but and he has been more elusive historically, and he was formerly just the armed angle.
He was the military wing. He was the most dangerous person inside Hamas. Sinwar is his name. And I think if we could cross him off the list, you've crossed off all major leaders of Hamas, all major leaders of Hezbollah. So who would be next? Maybe some Houthi leaders and the Ayatollah and probably the newest director of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
That's right. And I think that that has to be going through the Iranians' heads as they're saying, how do we retaliate? One, because they're looking weak on the world stage, seeing all their leaders taken out of all their proxy groups. But then you also think they have to be a little uncomfortable. The fact that the previous leader of Hamas was assassinated in Tehran when he was there for the Iranian president's inauguration. So that when Israel says you're not untouchable anywhere, I think at this point, after the pager attacks, after the way that they have decimated Nasrallah, that they have to take Israel at their word that the Ayatollah could be next if they make a wrong move.
Felt like he was next.
He went immediately
into
a bunker.
He went immediately underground. We don't know how deep that is, but that is why you have these bunker-busting missiles, and that is what took out, we believe that's what took out Hassan Nasrallah, was a buster bunker, a missile that goes in, it keeps going floor to floor to floor, and then when it gets to where you want it to explode, it explodes. And so we've heard more and more about what it was like in the final moments to be Nasrallah, and I think he deserved every bit of that pain that he may have gone through until he ultimately died, because he has the blood of Israelis on his hands. He has the blood of the Iranian people on his hands. He has the blood of the Lebanese people on his hands, of the people inside the West Bank and Gaza Strip in Syria. But he also has the blood of Americans on his hands. Don't ever forget the attacks on our barracks in Beirut, leading to over 200 U.S. military being killed. Don't forget that these Hezbollah troops and the Revolutionary Guard were working hand in hand to kill Americans in Syria and Iraq. And Will, I think that is the key here as we go into this next break. We've got two oral interventions at the UN later this week to defend Israel. We're preparing to send a critical demand letter to the UN General Assembly to confront the biased attacks on Israel. But in these times, we know that your prayers are so crucial for us to help our mission, and we're excited to announce our all-new prayer guide that launches today. I don't think the timing could be more appropriate, as Israel needs all of our prayers now more than ever. Go to aclj.org/pray to download your brand new free copy now.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
To Secchio, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But we are joined by our colleague and someone we're also representing, Tulsi Gabbard, who has been traveling the country, really doing awesome work to help conservatives, to help people who really love America, love freedom, and don't like the way this country is going. And she's been campaigning all across the country, doing a lot of events with RFK Jr. And Tulsi, I'll get to that in a moment, but I first wanted to ask you, because of your military, not just background, but current service, we now have reports out of the United States that Iran is preparing an imminent missile attack against Israel that could involve ballistic missiles. Could you walk through people too, like, if one of those ballistic missiles, and I know there's lots of different kinds, were to hit a major population center like Haifa, Tel Aviv, I don't think Jerusalem because there's too many Islamic holy sites there. But so if you looked at Tel Aviv and Haifa, millions of people, what would the outcome look like?
I mean, this is the biggest concern that we all have to face, that this is not just about Israel and Iran. It is about the United States and many other Arab countries who are directly or indirectly affiliated or would be impacted by this. This has been that worst-case scenario, or that almost worst-case scenario that we've all been so concerned about with this escalation. I keep looking at, you know, where is the leadership at the White House? You have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, neither of which, both imminently and directly given all that's happened, but also in the years, months, weeks, and days leading up to this, they've largely been absent. You have Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin out there urging de-escalation, and same with Tony Blinken, but there's no actions behind that. And they refuse to take responsibility for their direct the consequences of their funding and strengthening Iran's capabilities to do exactly this. When we look at what has happened over the last few years, the fact that we find ourselves in this place really, unfortunately, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Now is the time really for leadership to step forward, both in this moment, but also to look ahead and figure out, should this attack occur? Obviously, Israel has a lot of missile defense systems that we have helped provide and should continue to support, but we have to be prepared for all scenarios here.
And Tulsi, I think that's the concern. As you mentioned, the years of policy which strengthened Iran, which you see the fruits of. You see October 7th from Hamas. You see the strengthening of Hezbollah to the north to a point where Israel says enough, and they have to move on their own while the administration continues to say de-escalate, but the forces against them have risen. But you also see, kind of to carry that over, the failed policies. We see Kamala Harris now on Friday deciding to make a visit to the border, another top issue for the American people, where there is direct impact on communities across this nation. And just shy of 30 days from the election, Kamala Harris feels it's important enough to make a stop in Arizona at the border and try to sound like she's tougher on border policies. Do you think this is more of the same from the way that they operate? Let things go wild until it matters and then try to say we'll be tough?
Yeah, you know, it's quite astounding, and it's hard not to laugh when I saw her give that press conference after her 30-minute visit to the border 38 days before the election. And she stood there with a serious face and read off of a teleprompter and told the American people that we need to have rules in place to secure our border and that we need to enforce those rules. It's amazing, really, to see how she lies directly to the American people, taking no responsibility whatsoever for the last 3.5 years of their open border policies, and that the mainstream propaganda media simply regurgitate and support her lies. This is where, you know, we've got a vice presidential debate tonight. I'm looking forward to J.D. Vance continuing to remind the American people of the truth about who Kamala Harris really is, her record, and how things will get exponentially worse if she's elected as president.
You know, I wanted to ask you, because you went to an interesting event. I've been to Dearborn, Michigan when I was on the campaign trail, actually back in the day, with Mitt Romney. And we went to Dearborn because there were a significant Islamic population there that was considering voting a Republican because of small business owners, that everyone there wasn't some radical wannabe extremist or jihadist, but they were really interested in, you know, becoming part of the fabric of the United States of America. So you decided to host an event with RFK Jr. in Dearborn. Tell our listeners what it was like.
It was pretty incredible. We had over 1,000 people there filling this old and historic Ford Theater, a rowdy and energetic crowd. At each of our events, I asked in the audience, you know, raise your hand if you're a Democrat or you used to be a Democrat or you're an independent or undecided. And it almost to a person, nearly half of the hands go up in each of the places that we've gone. And that included Dearborn. You know, I think it's when we look at the radical nature of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies, we can look how over these past few years, we have a lot of voters, including Arab Americans, who are not voting based on the identity politics that the Democrat elite are pushing. It was Arab American mothers and families who went to Board of Education meetings and protested their positions of allowing boys into girls' bathrooms. They protested the extreme sexualization of their kids in public schools. And you have an Arab American Muslim mayor of an all-Muslim town council in the state of Michigan who came out and endorsed President Trump. So, you know, I'm hopeful in these experiences and knowing this because it just shows yet again how President Trump is bringing people together, not based on identity politics or party lines or ethnicity or race or religion, but people who cherish freedom and who are fighting against the radical policies of Kamala Harris.
Tulsi, we are just getting breaking news, a report that two gunmen have attacked in Tel Aviv. They believe that it is a terrorist act. 10 at least people have been killed. This is just going on right now. The gunmen, no indication that they've been stopped. I mean, so this is still ongoing. Many injured. I mean, if we find out that this was in fact an Islamic act of terrorism inside Israel, you know, I think again it ratchets up the conflict getting that much closer to a regional war.
It does. It absolutely does that. And we'll look to see how this continues to play out. But I think it's yet another reminder how Kamala Harris and the propaganda media so often focus on Israel's military actions and what they're doing to try to defeat these Islamist terrorists, but they refuse to shine a light on the constant barrage of attacks and suicide bombers and shooters that the Israeli people have to face and live with every single day. The bottom line is that we have to stand with Israel and other countries, for that matter, who are committed to defeating this threat of Islamist terrorism, both militarily and ideologically, if we are ever to have hope of being able to live in a free and peaceful society.
Tulsi, as always, we appreciate you being a member of our team here on Seculo, and of course what you're doing across the country, bringing in new people to our movement who would not have usually been there before. Like you said, half the crowd saying they're independents or have usually voted Democrat. That is awesome. Keep it up on the trail like that. But also, folks, that military insight that Tulsi is able to provide us, it's all because of your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. And we saw these individuals and we were talking inside with them. We said, you know what? It'd be great to have them on as regular parts of our team on the broadcast for our folks to get that next level of education. But we can't do that without resources. It takes resources, which means donations at aclj.org. We need your support today. Donate. We will be right back on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. This is breaking news. If you are watching this broadcast or listening to this broadcast live, we are live from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. So later in the day, we might get more information here, but we've got a report out of Tel Aviv, a potential terrorist attack near Tel Aviv. There are up to 10 victims and two gunmen. Right now, there has not been a report yet that those gunmen have been neutralized. So this could be an ongoing terrorist attack, Will, as we speak, inside Israel's largest city and what happens to be its business hub as well.
That's right. And as we have been watching the news earlier this morning about the imminent ballistic missile attack that was going to be aimed at Israel from the Iranians, you know, there was reports that it was at military sites, not at a city like Tel Aviv. However, you never know what the Iranians will do until the Iranians do it. But now there seems to be some chaos in the region as we see this report of a terror attack in Tel Aviv. They're saying 10 individuals have perished in this attack, that there are upwards of 20 additional injured in this attack. And these are all just preliminary reports. So once again, you have to take any sort of breaking news in a mass terror attack with that, just a grain of salt when you watch it come out.
If this is at the Jaffa Israeli light rail station, that is a, compare that to almost like a Penn Station, Union Station in D.C. I mean, this is one of those major travel arteries. I've been there multiple times before because you can pick and choose wherever you want to go across Israel. Israel is not that big, so you can get to places very easily by train. So the fact that they have gone into what would be a very busy place all the time and just started opening fire, I mean, this is that kind of raw intifada-style terrorism. What I'd be interesting to know, Will, once we get more information about this, are we starting to see the West Bank actors and terrorist groups starting to try and join this battle so that Israel literally is surrounded in that five-front war? I mean, not in ideology, but in actually on the ground.
That's right. And as you mentioned, that intifada style, this is what, unfortunately, Israel has had to live through for decades, is when the Palestinian terror would come across and at everyday places just try to instill fear and terror in the lives of Israeli citizens, not just Jews, but Arabs and Christians as well that are citizens of Israel that would be going about their day in a busy city. You have to remember, Tel Aviv is like the New York of Israel. It is a major cosmopolitan city. It is very technologically advanced. You think of Jerusalem and the historic sites and the stone facades. Tel Aviv is more like New York. It is that bustling city, skyscrapers,
yeah.
Tech innovation.
Fox News right now, I mean, if you see the imagery, I don't know, can we put this up behind us, guys?
Any we'll way get a, to do we'll that? Get a screenshot,
take a screenshot
of it,
just
it
so you can see the skyline of a city like Tel Aviv. I mean, it is one of the biggest cities in the world, certainly the largest city in Israel. It is the business and tech hub. It is probably the most expensive city to live in Israel. And of course, not only, it's kind of similar to me. I'm always reminded because I lived in Miami, and I'm not just talking about South Beach, but the greater Miami area. Very similar to that, where you've got areas of skyscrapers, you've got areas on the beach, you've got corporate headquarters, you've got people living, and again, it's not quite as historic feeling. There are a couple areas around the port systems and things like that where you can tour, but to target Tel Aviv is in some ways, if you're these gunmen, Will, kind of an easy target because if you're able to get those weapons in, that's part one, undetected. Lots of people use the rail system out of Jaffa. I mean, it is one of the main arteries in Israel.
That's right. And as you've seen, when the terrorists have a mission and they're able to pull it off, it can strike fear into those in Israel. But as Jordan has been mentioning, we did just release our quarterly prayer guide, which if you've been watching the news, whether it be here in America with the horrific storms or what's going on in Israel, we know that prayer is a powerful force and that we encourage our ACLJ members to join us. Go to aclj.org/pray. It is a free prayer guide. It's a free way you can help the ACLJ in one of the most important ways.
Take your calls too. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
To Secular, as we are talking about Israel, that's because my eyes are fixed on what is going on right now in Tel Aviv, and my heart breaks to know that you've got this terrorist attack that has occurred, that we now know that there have been missiles launched. There's a lot of breaking news happening right now, folks. Know that our show is live noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. So while we're reporting to you what is live and going on, always make sure later in the day, it's not very easy to find out what exactly ended up in Israel. And of course, we'll utilize the broadcast, even if we have to, you know, give updates over the weekend. We try to do that through social media. But what we are seeing is that IDF missiles, missiles launched from Iran towards Israel. This is what Iran threatened.
Right.
Well, this is what the U.S. said was imminent.
That's right. So a lot has gone on during this show today. One, we had the imminent threat of missiles, ballistic missiles being launched from Iran. We have a terror attack in Tel Aviv that has claimed the lives of 10 Israelis, as far as we know at this point. And now the IDF is saying that missiles have been launched from Iran towards Israel. This is a breaking news report. It's very preliminary. We will hopefully have more information, especially we've got one more segment after this. So as we start to get more information, our producers are feeding it to us as we speak, but we will get more updates as we get to that.
I want to play this sound, Will. We're going to talk to Harry Hutchinson. And this is this idea of these strikers that are on the East Coast and how this could impact consumer goods going into an election. You know, I think a lot of these groups, I wonder, Will, are they doing this because they're so mad at Democrats? Not so much Republicans, but Democrats who are not willing to go to the table for them to get the price increases they want. But tell people who they're about to hear from.
So this is from the president of the International Longshoremen's Association, okay, Harold Daggett. And he has been very vocal. You've seen him probably all over the news as this strike started at midnight last night with strikes from ports going all the way from Boston in the Northeast all the way down to Houston around the Gulf Coast. And let's play what he's having to say, because I know it's getting some attention today, but it's probably not getting enough attention because the implications it has on every single person watching this broadcast or listening to this broadcast. But let's go ahead and play bite two about how he says this strike will play out.
These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets, from Maine to Texas, every single port, a lockdown. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money, to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
Okay, I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson. Harry Hutchinson, he is saying he will cripple America. This is a union leader that thinks the best thing possible is to actually cripple the American people who rely on these goods that flow in from overseas so that they can feed their families. Are we going to see another baby formula shortage? All those lists that we've gone through before. I mean, that is pretty nasty language. And is it targeted at Democrats? Is it targeted at Republicans?
Well, I think long run, it is targeted at Democrats. The implications of a strike are huge. The reverberations of this strike on the economy are absolutely huge. So 35,000 longshoremen can cause the loss of millions of jobs in the United States in the short run. From Maine to Texas, every port will be locked down as a result of this longshoreman strike. Within a week or so, we should see prices rise briskly on everything from medical equipment to food to clothing to construction equipment, including steel, lumber, and heavy machinery. And we should see automobile prices rise. Unemployment for construction workers, we should see rising. And so at the end of the day, this will impose a cost on the American consumer, the economy writ large, possibly the stock market. And we have already seen a slowdown in housing sales, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve has cut interest rates substantially. So mortgage rates have come down, yet people are unwilling to purchase houses in many markets, including many of the fastest growing markets. So I think at the end of the day, we should realize that 3/4 of the container ships in America go through the ports on the East Coast and the Gulf Coast. And I think at the end of the day, we should also keep in mind that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are without real weapons, because if they invoke the Taft-Hartley law, guess what? The workers are not prepared to work. They're going to go back to the ports, but they are not going to unload with alacrity. So I think at the end of the day, this is a huge blow to the economy, and it may be a huge blow to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Keep in mind as well, this takes place against a really bad environment. If you look at what's happened to Georgia and North Carolina, two swing states that have been hit really hard by Hurricane Helene, guess what? They need supplies. They need them desperately. And the Biden administration has said, we are unprepared to provide more funding.
Folks, we are going to keep talking about this for just a moment, but I'm going to give a brief update that there have been over 100 missiles fired at Israel. It looks like the targets from some of the maps and some of the reporting I'm seeing, it's all over the country of Israel, the targets. There's a visual on screen right now. The targeted areas, that is basically the entire nation of Israel. Like I said, over 100 missiles have been launched from Iran towards Israel. We're going to get a little bit more into that in the next segment, but I have one final question for Professor Hutchison. You talk about the supply chain issues, how a single union is basically able to cripple the United States. Doesn't that also play in to the entire platform of Donald Trump to be less reliant on foreign goods and services here in America?
Absolutely. And so one of the things that we should reconsider is our dependence on foreign suppliers. And we should also reconsider two things: the income tax and tariffs on imported goods. At the end of the day, we should reduce the income tax in the United States, and we should raise the price or the tariffs on foreign goods. I think in the long run, that would stabilize employment in the United States and reduce our dependence on foreign suppliers.
Harry, I want to say this. How quick could we start feeling this in the stores? You know, if we're walking into the big box stores, how quick could this really impact people who are actually going to the stores?
We would start to feel the impact at least within 7 to 10 days.
Very quickly.
And guess what? You will see anticipatory price increases on items that are relatively scarce and the demand for which is inelastic. So, for instance, medical supplies, we should see a huge rise ultimately in the prices of those types of goods.
And then when you add in a conflict which is now escalating as we speak, so now we know missiles have, hopefully most of them, have been intercepted over Israel. They have been fired from Iran towards Israel. The second time, Will, that Iran has engaged in these missile barrages so far. We've not seen a lot of success out of Iran, but they are claiming that this time they may start using more intensive weaponry. The question is, does that intensive weaponry make it through the Iron Dome system?
That's right, and we will be joined in the next segment by our director of our Jerusalem office, Jeff Balaban. He'll be calling in. He was able to break away from some meetings and appointments he had this afternoon to join us and give us a live update. He's been feeding me information throughout this entire show. But we are, like I said, we're seeing 100-plus missiles fired from Iran at the state of Israel. The targets appear to be widespread across the entire nation of Israel, as you see on the screen there. We will get back. But once again, we talked about our prayer guide, folks.
Yeah.
Now is the time to pray for Israel, for the people of Israel, and for the world, as we see a very drastic and aggressive attack by Iran on the state of Israel at a very dire time.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We have provided a lot of information on this show, and that's because there's a lot of breaking news. We know that some missiles have been intercepted over Israel. These are missiles launched from the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we know that these are missiles, including potentially ballistic missiles. We're starting to get imagery of these missiles being fired into Tel Aviv. Here we go right now. So you're starting to see on your screen what it looks like in Tel Aviv. And are we going to see missiles coming in? Or are we going to see that pretty shortly? Yeah, there you go. So again, when you saw that fire right there, Will, that is not a missile that was shot down in the air by the Iron Dome.
That's right. So this is from this video actually came from Jim Sciutto from CNN, who is there. And it appears that some either missiles or missile fragments have landed in areas surrounding Tel Aviv. We are joined by Jeff Balaban right now, who's calling in today. Wasn't planned to be on the show, but we needed his insight. Jeff, what are you hearing from contacts in Israel about what's going on?
Well, there's the official news reports of 102 missiles launched from Iran to the major population centers of Israel. And then there's the reports on the ground, not just from the news, but from everybody I know who are in their shelters. And it's nonstop booming missile whining over Jerusalem, over Tel Aviv. People are in their shelters. Everything's shut down. This is it. This is a massive, massive attack by Iran on Israel.
Yeah, I mean, Will brought this up to me because, Jeff, we were wondering, when we were looking at the maps, it looked like almost that they were carving out Jerusalem. But now we've got reports that they've also been striking inside, or tried to strike inside, West Jerusalem. So kind of explain to people the significance of that, because that's getting awfully close to their religious sites like the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
They are targeting. They clearly don't care if they kill, you know, Arabs or Jews. They clearly don't care about that. They never have cared about that. And the question is whether they will strike one of the holiest sites in Islam. It remains to be seen. What that would mean in terms of the way the Arab Muslim world would react to that is anybody's guess. They could blame Israel, as usual, for everything, even what's done to Israel. Or, again, the huge inter-Muslim war between Sunni and Shia could fire up. Again, the entire region is now coming to, is threatening to collapse.
Jeff,
Iran.
Jeff, we also saw moments before, literally moments before, the reports of these missiles, what appears to be a very intifada-style terror attack in downtown Tel Aviv, that the reports I'm seeing, as many as 10 have been killed by a jihadi, a terrorist, there in Tel Aviv. But the chaos that we're seeing unfold, does this seem calculated in a way that the proxy groups would try to collaborate with Iran on this, or is this a separate event, do you think?
There's no way to know whether this is targeted, but we will know very quickly because it may break out all over the country. Remember, the West likes to pretend that there's a difference between the PA or the PLO, known as Fatah, and Hamas. There is no difference. They are all dedicated to genocide. They're all dedicated to eradicating Israel. And so they've been waiting for their moment. It's entirely possible this is their moment.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, that they've, again, waited for this moment. But we also know that Israel has been on a strategic mission to take out their leadership. So while Iran may feel like this is their moment to fight back, at the same time, their Ayatollah is underground in hiding because how he's seen his friends and his proxy group leaders be eliminated by the state of Israel.
Well, that's right. And there's a moment now, you know, the report yesterday that Ahmadinejad, the former head of Iran, said that they had a whole team that was dedicated to ferreting out Mossad agents until they discovered that the head of the team and his agents were Mossad agents. Who knows if that's real or they're making it up, but they recognize that their entire infrastructure has been compromised, and now it's all down to the nukes. Look, they've been on a glide path to nukes. which threaten not just Israel, but threaten the entire West, including America, because they've been also looking for intercontinental ballistic missiles. And Israel is now fighting this war, and it does open the possibility that Israel will try to go after their nuclear situation, which is very deeply dug down under gigantic mountains. It's very difficult. You can't see a map. It's a topographical map. They've hidden their things deep down. We don't even know if there are bunker busters capable of reaching it, but obviously Israel's trying to do everything it can, and this may be the moment where they have to go after their nuclear plan, which unfortunately America has led the charge to allow them to get this far.
Jeff, we just have a couple minutes left in the broadcast today. Thank you for being able to hop on the phone quickly as all this breaking news was unfolding. But as director of ACLJ Jerusalem for us, what message should we be giving to the American people that are listening right now of how to pray for the people of Israel and what to be looking for in the coming days?
I mean, thank you for asking that question. The only thing that people around the world could do now is pray for Israel when the time comes. Have it in mind, God willing, they get through this and you know, vote correctly so that they're actually being supported by the American administration. Because all of this happens when America turns its back on Israel. And unfortunately, Israel is now literally fighting an existential battle to protect all of us.
And you are seeing, if you're watching the broadcast, and Jeff, we appreciate you joining us, but Will, people are seeing this barrage attack on Tel Aviv. I haven't seen anything like this on this scale. I go back to when I was very young, and it was Saddam Hussein carrying out attacks like this with ballistic missiles at the time. It did not lead to mass casualties. That was even previous to the Iron Dome. But now what we are seeing is you can kind of tell what's been shut down, shot down by the Iron Dome, and we've seen even missiles go into the water. So they are targeting the population centers where you've got the most people living the closest together, and that's where Iran has said, we'll let Hezbollah fight in the north, Hamas to the west of Israel, and then we're going to take the battle to the big cities.
That's right, and it appears the reports, the early intelligence reports, that they would be trying to attack just military sites, you even said you can't believe that for a minute that Iran wouldn't try to do something bigger, but this is not an attack on military sites. This is a large-scale ballistic missile attack on Israelis, Israeli citizens, every day, men and women going to work, children going to school. They are trying to target the population centers and kill as many Israelis as they can, and we pray that they are not successful, that the Iron Dome is strong enough. But when you even look at this footage, it's nothing like seeing the rocket attacks that are just quickly taken down. These are much more sophisticated advanced weaponry and a lot of them coming in fast at Israel.
And to remind people, this is not happening at 3 a.m. when people are off the streets. This is happening, it's just about to be 8 p.m. in Israel. So it's a city like many in Europe and the Middle East that later night cities, especially the big ones like Tel Aviv. And so you've got this situation unfolding where you see people running around trying to get to coverage, knowing it was imminent, but imminent can mean days, imminent can mean moments. In this case, when we started the show today, we said imminent. Now, we did not know it would actually occur while we were on the broadcast. We need to stand with Israel at the American Center for Law and Justice. And here's the way to do it. You go to ACLJ.org and you can donate today. These resources, we need them even now, because we know after the fact, the legal work that has to be done to defend the Jewish state of Israel, the work we have to do in the United States of America even to defend the state of Israel. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org and get the new fall prayer guide. It's out right away. It's ACLJ.org/pray. It's absolutely free. Israel is a part of it, so check that out as well. We will talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.